Easy, how are we?
Shawnee. It's rare we're actually talking on a Sunday.
Sunday morning. No, Rachel, today in the podcast, I just saw on Strava, she did some like a 90K cycle. I don't know, it was yesterday, today, I get lost in the time zones and stuff. So I assume she's recovering up from that. So Rachel, fair play in your cycle and all the stuff you're doing on Strava lately. Speaking of training, how's the training going for you, big man?
Well, we're coming to the end of the 4 week get back into sport period. So this week has been very quiet.
the calm before the storm, so to speak.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I spent a lot of time just getting myself organized and back into work. And there was a few things I just kind of had to do since I got home. So, spent a lot of time finalizing a lot of things, picking up gear for myself for the bike. So we're starting to cycle to and from work from tomorrow.
Oh, very nice.
So it's 23 kilometers each way. One of the ways is past your house, and I drove it home the other day. Holy fuck.
The hills, man. The hills are insane.
Yeah, so I actually used the pedometer or the speedometer or whatever you want to call it. So I think one of the hills is consistent for 2.5 kilometers of a climb. So, it's nasty enough. But I'm going to cycle in a different way. I don't want to start my day like that. So I'm going to cycle in a different way, and then I'm going to come home over the hills. Because if I need to begin Joe in the morning time, if you sleep it out, at least I can be guaranteed a time in on a flat road. Mm-hmm. It's 2 kilometers longer, but it's, I think, like 300 meters less climb. So whereas on the way home, time is irrelevant. So I can come over the hills at a decent pace that I'm not killing myself. Because the idea is you need to be able to cycle in and out every day. So if I cycle over them hills twice on the first day, I think I might die. So, the cycling's going to start back next week. A couple of runs added in. And I think I'm a week away from my 16-week plan. So, it's going to involve cycling and running and gym work. So it's going to be busy. It's going to be very, very busy. So probably about 10 training sessions a week. Because eventually after 2-3 weeks, cycling in and out to work is no longer a training session. It's just my daily commute and everything else is a training session. So it's...
Yeah, it's, we talked about it before with the nutrition and stuff. It's like you get to a point, like I think the other week, I remember it was last week before, we talked about adaptation and stuff. But it comes a while where you're doing the same thing all the time. That becomes your new set pace. That becomes your new normal. And people are like... People think they plateau and stuff, but it's like, no, like you're just doing the same thing over and over again. Obviously, with you, you're just getting miles and legs stuff with the cycling, but you need to push a little bit more then on the running, and that's where you're getting your extra bit from. That's deadly. Fair play. All psyched for
it. I'm busy today now again. I'm back in the home. I'm just kind of moving all my stuff into one location is what I'm trying to do at the minute, which I haven't done for 6 years of living in bases and this, that, and the other. So the living in bags element is starting to come to an end. I still have a bit to do. I still have to change my cleats. After we did Questland, the locker ruined the bottom of my cleats, so I have to change them later. But apart from that, I got my waterproof bag for cycling in. I got decent reflective gear. I got lights. I got pumps. I got everything. I took away all my excuses before I gave my a chance to have them, if that makes sense. You know, yes. Like you look out today and there's showers. So I've set myself up in work. I have 2 towels. I have 2 changes of clothes that are there in case of emergency. Apart from that, I'll carry in my change of clothes every day. My uniform will be left in work, you know. So it's just taking away the excuses. So all I have to do in the morning is wake up, put my stuff in the waterproof bag. And it's cool. And I had to say, Decathlon is brilliant because so all cycling shops are brilliant. And I'll say that, but... In terms of Decathlon, I didn't want a brand. I just wanted something that would do the job. And it's one of these like fully waterproof roll at the top bags that has straps on it. And it's absolutely perfect for what we needed for, reflective on the back. But it's stuff like that that I wouldn't have known I needed unless I was looking at it going, because I want to bring my laptop. I want to bring this. So, So it took away all my excuses. So now once the bike holds up and I can get the shoes on, and at least that's it. I have a pump as well in case of emergency. You know, like I don't usually carry them on the bike or strap them on the bike, because it's usually a race that if the tire bursts, I'm just like, nah, fuck. Whereas I have to get to work. So if I'm 20 minutes late because I burst the tire, that's fine. But yeah, that's it. So I'm excited, nervous, of course, because yeah, it's obviously getting back into it. But just take the time and give myself enough time in the mornings. And the plan is to keep it going up until September, October time, up until the marathon. And then I'll be back indoors for winter because it's too dark on the country road. Like, it is actually probably one thing that's scaring me is cycling on the roads. Like even cycling over to or driving over to home this morning, I seen people overtaking cyclists on bends with continuous white lines. Some of them met the flashing lights and the horn of me because they were like completely dangerous and they had to then edge in on top of the cyclist because I was coming around the bend. Like, so it's, I'm afraid of drivers. Yeah. A lot of drivers are idiots. So at 7 o'clock in the morning, you're surrounded by a lot of commuting traffic. And then again at 5 o'clock in the evening. So it is probably genuinely the only thing that's really scaring me. I actually was driving the route home and I met a cyclist with a bag on his back, waterproof, cycling what seemed to be the direction I was traveling. It gave me actually a little bit of confidence that, look, people do it. So, yeah. And I know people do it. I know people do it all the time, but yeah, it's just, it is an element to think about on the country roads going across.
Oh, 100%. It is a very, very scary thing. I remember the first couple of times cycling through Dublin City Centre, just being damn near petrified, not knowing, should we be in by the pass, should we be near the middle of the road when I'm turning, what, like, just weaving around cars obviously weaving around me, and even the back roads near where you're living now. I've been down those roads and trucks passing me out going, oh my God, I'm going straight into the ditch now, because I might have to put myself in the ditch before a car comes around the corner and puts all of us into a ditch. But, you do somewhat get used to it after a bit of time, and people listen to the podcast know I'm no expert. But even though Rachel's not in the podcast today, her fingerprints are all over this podcast because of her. I was at her old athletic club out in Kilcock on Friday night. And once we get the intro music, I'll talk about that 5K. Let's go. Eric, you know when you sign up for the races and stuff we've done before in the past?
Yeah.
Me and you have a thing where we've been late for a few things, you know, we're just getting there. Even if we're a half hour early or something for an event, you don't want to be too early for an event. So Rachel, when she talked about her 5K PB, 16 something, insane time she did it. She did it out in St. Coca's Athletic Club out in Kilcock. That used to be her own training ground back in the day. And she advised, I was talking to her before off the podcast about wanting to try and get this sub 25K. And she's like, this place here is a good flat course. It's on the end of June. Go for it. So around 3-4 months ago at this stage, I signed up for it. Not thinking too much about it. Like, I'm signing up for it. When I get close to it, I'll build up and I'll do it. And I knew, obviously, it's an elite level athletic club just because of Rachel's times and stuff. But I was driving in Kilcock. The race started at 8 o'clock. So I'd say around 25 past 7, because I'm not too familiar with the area. I said I'd drive in, just make sure I'm parked up and try and figure out where I'm going, because I didn't really think too far ahead. At 25 past 7, I'm coming to Kilcock, and it's apparent the race is on. Because it wasn't just one or two people. There was a ton of people running and getting warm-ups in 40 minutes before the event. I'm like, oh my God. Like, just insane stuff. By the time I parked up and did my little jog, like little under a kilometer to where the starting line was, you could also come off the road into their athletic club, and they had like race tracks around. They had the proper turf and everything, and like there was just hundreds of people all in the proper running gear, racing gear, all good to go. Like, there was no Saw Doctors t-shirts or anything like that. And I'm me there in the Jordan t-shirt. Thankfully I wore the L tank top this time. I actually felt a little bit in the crew, and I was like, oh my God, this is a whole new ball game. Like, the winner was 14 minutes on the 5k. And,
my God.
I scrolled through the first few results. I didn't want to see the time where I was. I think I seen where I was at the end. But like, I got onto page 2 and it was 100 names were on it. And like, the 100th person was 17 minutes. 17 minutes.
Oh,
something.
My God.
Do you ever think, like, this? It was the very first time. I've done a fair few events, even this year alone. But I never got that proper sports day race 100-meter feel that I got
before.
I was actually properly nervous. Like, I was like, oh my God, I raced thinking and everything went out the window. Like, was it intimidating? Is not the right word. But I knew what people went, and this is not bashing the event or anything like that. But what I heard beforehand, I was like, this is not your average fun run. This is like, if you're too close to the top and you're in people's way, you're gonna get the little elbow and stuff and the little move and the nods and stuff like that. Now that didn't happen to me, but maybe it was tanked up, but that didn't happen to me. But you did tell about the starting line. It's like, okay, this is a different animal. This is a beast. This is a proper race, and let's go.
It is kind of scary, but I suppose when Rachel was saying that it was her quick one and it's a good flat course, every athlete who runs a 5K is also thinking Kilcock's a good place to get out and get a good PB. So you were competing with Athletics of Ireland, really, to be honest.
Oh yeah,
you
know, they had like
did you find that? I always say, like, if you play with better, you get better. Did you find, even though your race plan was gone, did you find it weird people consistently passing you out, or you're trying to catch people? Do you know the way when we do these races, some people get the burst off and then you start taking names, you start picking them off as you go? How did it feel to see people going further into the distance?
It was weird because there was like 97 clubs or something like that represented, because I saw a post on it. I wish I could say I started picking people off. It happened the opposite way. So I had that little burst to start, and I was like, oh, I'm getting a little bit ahead. And I only found out afterwards that I started at I finished the kilometer at around 3:53, but I started at a 3:25 pace. I'm like, oh boy. So by the time the second kilometer finished around, I felt heavy. I felt sick. I felt the breathing was too heavy. So I unfortunately got in my own head at that stage and was like, today might not be the day it happens. And then there was a balloon going by around midway through, near the end of the third kilometer. I saw the balloon with the 20-minute mark on it just slowly creep ahead and creep ahead. And I just had nothing to tank. The breathing was too much, which is something I need to work on now. I hadn't done enough intervals. So it was more of a case of people picking me off and passing me out. And I was that guy that got too far ahead and came back. But what happened was I hit the 3:53 in the first kilometer. I knew that was too fast, but I was aiming for 3:55. So it was actually somewhat on track, but I just started at that a little bit too fast just because of trying to, if I actually started off slower, I'd say I would have been trampled on by people. So I kind of just try to pick a quiet part of the paths and stuff and try and just keep on going forward without getting trampled on from behind. So I probably started too far up ahead, maybe. I'm not too sure. But then the second kilometer, I was like, right, I'm going to try and maintain this pace, see what happens. Has this ever happened to you in a Garmin? You're running along, you know you're doing a 4-minute kilometer pace or something around that. You look down on the watch and it says 5-minute kilometer pace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, we're in the middle of the woods and it happened. I'm like, I can't be running a 5-minute kilometer. I know I'm not, but am I?
It usually happens when you go into trees. It can't get a reading on you. And, it happens to me when we train around Donaghadee Forest, when I go for a run around Donaghadee, and I'm running at what's like, this is a 4:55. And I look down my watch, it's nearly pushing 7-minute kilometers. And it's actually very off-putting.
Yes.
Very, very off-putting. And it's one of those things where on a race, I 100% know what you're saying in terms of you need to check your pace. You need to know, like, how am I? How is the heart? You know, like, it is a handy tool. But I think, especially if you get into the trees, just don't look.
Yeah,
just don't look. Just ride it out, because it actually gets into your head. It's like you're working hard, you're breathing hard, and your watch is like, "Are you going to start running?" Yeah. It happens quite a lot. Even in Helsinki, when we went for runs along the river, there was trees as high as you could, and I set out a pace that would feel really good, and it would be telling me 6:45. And then all of a sudden we come out of the trees and I'm at a 4:20 and I'm like, oh, no wonder why I am absolutely goosed. Because you know you're going quick, but you don't notice the 15 seconds quicker or especially when you're surrounded by a crowd like that. Like, let's be honest.
Just with the crowd, yeah. Now, I'm not making excuses here. I hadn't got it on me today. I wasn't getting sub 20. This didn't make a difference. It was just it was a funny side note. I remember even thinking while doing it, I was like, I just had so much respect for, and there was probably no one in this race doing it, but obviously people were at 10, 15 years ago, no watches, no pace. We've talked to people before doing marathons in 2010, 2012, not having that pace, stuff like that. Just having to guess off the signs what they're doing. To be able to do that and not constantly look at the watch and see what kind of pace is settled into those runs was just, I got a whole new respect for it very quick, very fast. And I realized, actually, I may as well not have this watch when I'm going through trees right now. I have no idea what pace I'm doing. But I got to pass the, I say near the 4K mark. And I knew I needed to get two 405s or something like that to keep going. I knew it was getting slower and slower. And it was one of those cases where I literally just wanted just to veer left and jump into a ditch because I just felt so, just felt sick. The breathing was gone. I was one of those, I felt like I'd sprinted the 3K and I just felt like that was it. And I felt really slow, even though I wasn't. Like my last kilometer, had I not had the watch, I would have told you maybe I did a 5:15 kilometer pace, but I ended up doing a 4:20. And I don't know how, because I felt so slow in comparison to what I was doing at the start. So hell of an event, hell of a race. Good to see a lot of people out there. And even at the end, talking to a few people, they're like, okay, I'm getting started now for my marathon training plan. This is to see what my 5K pace was and build my training plans and stuff around there. Because just like yourself, a lot of people are a good 16 weeks out for whether it's all the marathons are coming up now in September and October, pretty much, whether it's Galway. I heard a lot of talk about Rotterdam he's doing. That's a good flat course. Obviously Dublin as well. And then if people are lucky enough to do New York, Chicago or any of those as well.
Yeah, it's did you feel, I was just thinking as you were saying there, surrounded by all the singlets and short shorts, did you feel like a runner?
No. No. And it's the same amazing. Thing happened to me. It's amazing. The gear.
Yeah, it's amazing how we keep saying, like, you are a runner. You are a runner. But when you show up to the amateur kind of outfit of athletics and you're like, oh, no, I'm not in this league. No, yeah. No.
It was the first time all year where I felt like, oh, I always felt like I got complacent after how I got on a fast lane. But then when I got to this, like, oh, it's like I jumped up a league. But it's mad how the gear makes a difference. So when you're talking about the Decathlon there and stuff like that, I was cycling with a few friends yesterday and I was like, we're going for a casual cycle. And they were like, we might do 15, 20K. I didn't know they planned 40-odd K to cycle. So I got up and, you know, it was windy and whatever around here. And I was like, put on the jacket. I'll have the tracksuit bottoms on. I'll stick me usual Jordan training top on. So I got there looking like a piece of whatever. And like, as I just walked out of the gym. And they had the full running gear decked out, the padded shorts, the works. And they're like, hey, where's your reflectors? I'm like, I got nothing. I got a little light in the back of the bike and that's about it. I had no bag. I had no food. And I just felt like, what am I doing? But the gear can give you that extra bit of confidence, extra bit of boost. I know it sounds insane, but like maybe having the singlets and the running shorts and everything else, so the guys being involved in certain athletic clubs, it gives you that little boost. And once again, not saying I had the legs in me to do a sub 20, but yeah, to your point, that the gear makes a difference, all right.
Yeah, it is like, listen, you don't need to buy gear to run fast. There's kids and after running in barefoot doing 5Ks quicker than we dream of. Like it's their comfort zone. They've trained in it. Part of the procedure of doing it. You know, you put on the thing that the shorts, the go fast stripes. You know, like it's
look the part, feel the part.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's I'm not jealous. I actually would have been like, fuck this now, to be completely honest. Yeah, well, no, I'm a long way away from probably sub 25 5K now at this stage. So it's still just over it though, it's still impressive. It's you kind of have to take the wins from it that you're not too far off where you were, considering you kind of took a step back for a few weeks. So that's a great positive coming into the marathon season for you now. You know you still have the miles and the legs. You know you still have a sub 21 5K in the tank. Mm-hmm. So where will you be come 8 weeks into your marathon plan? Or, happen naturally for you.
I'm not going to lie, and it's not the smartest decision. I've kind of put the marathon plan on a small bit of a back burner because near the end of the race, I saw the balloon just turn the corner and I was at that little bit of distance ahead. And this girl on the sideline just shouted, you got 100 meters to go. There was a few of us there. And I was like, right, I got the sprint in me. I sprinted for around 10 meters, turned the corner at the end. I was like, that's not 100 meters. I just died at dead. It's like, if you see my Travis, there's a little spike up and go, nah, it's not there. So I got to the end. I was kind of like, I had the sub 20. So there's a race. There's a Park West waste. Park West race. Easy for me to
say.
Well
done.
Thank you very much. Next month, July 26th, the Tuesday evening run, 5K, 10K. I think I'm going to get my nutrition down a little bit more, drop a kilo or two, and get more intervals. So I'm going back to Rachel's plan. Obviously, it's only 4 weeks away. So I'm going to jump into a week two plan and then get those like one or two intervals in that a week, build that up. My long run, still keep that a lot longer because of the marathon plan coming up. So I'll start doing at least 10 miles, if not more, on the Sundays. Small bit of cycling there as well. And then in 4 weeks' time, we're having another conversation. And hopefully I can say finally sub 20. If I don't get it this time, it'll have to be 2023 because I have the 80K eco run and I've got the other thing. So I'm putting it out in the podcast. Oh, that night I came home, I was sick and there was no one in the house, thank God. So I had a little beckon anyway. And then I was like, right, signing up. You know, I was all smiles and stuff in the post. And I was all right. But the more I thought about it, I was more like, I thought I had it. And compared to other times, this time, even though I knew the training wasn't properly there, I thought I had enough to squeeze it in, but obviously I didn't. So the intervals, the saunas and all are coming back. Anything to get my breathing right. And we'll see what we're like in a month's time.
I think you will. I think the little bit of focus training, I think this race kind of came up.
Bit too quick.
Yeah, because you had a couple of things setting you back, but I think now with the absolute determination and focus, I think you'll get very close. You can see you have that feeling. But in credit to you, when you're in the race, and I know from being on a couple of sub-25K attempts, I finished 15 seconds over and 10 seconds over. And I got really annoyed with myself about 2 hours later going, fucking 15 seconds. That's all you had to do, 15 seconds. But then I'd remind myself, yeah, but you remember when you hit 3K and you thought your heart was going to explode or your chest? Like, give yourself a break.
Yeah.
So I'd say give yourself a break. You did very well and you have a great foundation to build for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, I still think it's the hardest race, 5Ks.
Well, yeah.
I do a half marathon any day of the week. And some people haven't done a half marathon like that. This is too long. Like, trust me, when you get to 5Ks and you're sprinting the whole 5K, you have to pace yourself out for the longer runs, which I enjoy better. But one more go around the 5K and we'll see how we get on from there. So with that said, anything else you want to add before we wrap up this week's episode of the Any Given Runday podcast?
No, that's it. Best of luck to anyone who's starting an 18-week plan for the marathon next week. And keep an eye out on our training and we'll get in touch next week and let you know how the cycling and the training is going.
Unreal. Best of luck with those roads, big man. On that note, that is it for myself and Eric on this week's episode of the podcast. Take care.
Bye.